Hey, I'm Alok, the host of Build the Change, a brand new podcast from MacBlue about the people at the center of progress. Join us on a journey across the country as we uncover stories about the everyday folks working together to build something bigger than themselves, real change. You'll hear from students in Appalachia advocating for LGBTQ-friendly books in their communities, healthcare workers providing telehealth abortions across the country, immigrant farm workers fighting for their safety in the blazing sun, and candidates in states with razor-thin margins. Listen to Build the Change now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Wajahat Ali.
And Waj, you know, we are back. I want to say to our listeners that our conversation last week on who the Speaker of the House would be and where we would be, you know, by the time that episode aired, Mike Johnson was the new Speaker, unanimously voted in. So I want to give us an opportunity to say that we pre-recorded, friends, like that's what we did. And we cannot control how, you know, how the news rolls, because my God, I thought that we were going to be speakerless, and then we got a new one, Waj. And this new one, my God, my God.
I mean, this is one of those situations where we have said on our show for, I think, the past year and a half, that the GOP is going to further become a radicalized, weaponized movement that is hostile to democracy. And people thought, as usual, these darkies are crazy. What are you talking about, right? Going back, Danielle, Donald Trump won't leave. Oh, you're hysterical. Donald Trump is going to cause a lot of chaos if he loses. Oh, you're hysterical. After Donald Trump leaves, did you hear this one, folks? The GOP will moderate. They'll get back on track. Well, forget Marjorie Taylor Greene. Forget Lauren Boebert. Now we have, as the Speaker of the House, not Kevin McCarthy, the spineless amoeba of a man. I think, what's the animal reference that you use, Danielle?
A spineless jellyfish.
Yeah, jellyfish. There you go. Not Steve
jellyfish, I'll say that.
A stingerless jellyfish, who will probably use his stinger to sting himself. Yes. Kevin McCarthy, real quick, is the only man in history who did a Faustian bargain and got nothing in return. But I digress. All right. Not Steve Scalise, who's David Duke without the baggage. Mm-hmm. Those two guys, no. They were too moderate for the GOP. So they went with this guy, Mike Johnson. And every single day, and something crazy will probably drop by tomorrow when we release this, more information has been revealed about how extreme this guy is. K-File on CNN revealed that Mike Johnson, as an attorney, was involved with the conversion therapy movement. Danielle, as the sole ambassador of all queer people, can you tell those who don't know what conversion therapy was?
Yeah, absolutely. So conversion therapy, which has been banned in many states, is a form of quack bullshit therapy that either chooses to try and beat the gay out of people, to prey the gay out of people, to shame the gay out of people. Basically, it is those that are vulnerable who go to these, you know, they're largely religious institutions for help. And why do they need help? Because they're living inside of communities that are very, what is the word I'm looking for? Abrasive, toxic, horrible for the LGBTQ community. And so what are they forced to do?
I would add torturous. It's torture, right?
Torturous. And what are they forced to do? Try and change themselves. And so there have been so many, my God, over the decades, horrible, disgusting stories of people that were forced into conversion therapy, normally children, by their religious zealot parents, who tell harrowing stories. So yes, this is what the new Handmaiden Tale Speaker of the House has been involved with.
And can I quote CNN's K-File? Mm-hmm. Quote, prior to launching his political career, Johnson, a lawyer, gave legal advice to an organization called Exodus International and partnered with the group to put out an annual anti-gay event aimed at teens, just like you said. Yep. And also, Danielle, doing research on this and learning about it, a lot of the founders of that movement came out, several years ago and said, this doesn't work. We apologize. It's quack science. Like, it's torture. So that alone would be enough to disqualify him. But in addition to that, Daniel, he also has some very interesting thoughts about women's rights and abortion. Meaning basically that they have no rights. And also gun safety, in the fact that there should be no gun safety. And by the way, an open election denier, pretty much who's pro-coup, is now the second in line to be president if, God forbid, something happens to President Joe Biden and Vice President Harris. This is the guy.
Yeah. And, you know, I at first, right, if you remember, I was just like, I had gotten to the point where I was just like, I don't give a damn who the speaker is because I know that they're going to be horrible, right? I know that they're going to be anti-democratic, that they're going to be anti-American, that they're going to be anti any of the values that this country has tried to live up to and expand over the course of its, you know, 2.5 centuries. However, Mike Johnson is probably the worst of the worst type of pick that we could have. When the man is asked where you stand on certain issues and he says, if you read the Bible, you would know. Whose interpretation of the Bible, sir? The same Bible that justified slavery? The same Bible that justified the domestic abuse of women? The same Bible that, that conjures up violence towards children, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Like, what version of said evangelical Christian Bible are we to reference in point to you, right? When Sherrilyn Ifill, the former head of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, tweeted a video of Mike Johnson. Folks, I'm not quite sure the year, but to me, it doesn't really matter, where Mike Johnson said that, we are in a place in our society where it is deteriorating because we've moved away from the 18th century. I just want to remind folks where we were in the 18th century.
Polio.
We were in slavery. We were.
Slavery. My forgot that.
Women did not have the right to vote. If my math is right,
I think you are correct on that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of child labor. But it was great to be a straight white Christian man. That's what we know of the 18th century.
With property.
And that is the good old days to the new Speaker of the House. It's not the 1950s, folks. It's the 18th century.
I'm like, bro, this is where you want to give them tips. Like, bro, go to 1953, pre-board versus Brown of Education. Space. He goes, no. I'm going to go all the way to 19th century. I'm like, bro, don't say this stuff out loud. He goes, no. I want to say it out loud. And so there's two things at play here. We have talked about on our program the danger and threat of white Christian nationalism. And because it's white and it's Christian, and they are from the Rust Belt and they're the real American who have economic anxiety and, you know, sit in diners and drink real coffee, it's not a real threat, even though, as we've discussed on our show, the data shows that white Christian nationalism was a major factor in the failed violent insurrection that was against our democracy. And we have seen with white Christian nationalists that they use Jesus as a mascot. Their true ideology is white supremacy, power. They believe God gave them this land, straight white men, to purify so they then can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And by the way, the rest of us have to be either domesticated, made docile, or purged. This is the ideology, folks. It is a dangerous, violent threat. And this is the ideology of Mike Johnson, whom the Republican said, even though we know all of this about this guy and we have a 2024 election, this is our guy, and we're going to stand with him. So there's two things, because it does connect to also the evangelical base, the white evangelical base, Danielle, that is still 70 to 80% strong for Donald Trump, mm-hmm. and which is also the base, and folks, this is how it connects, for Netanyahu, the corrupt authoritarian leader of Israel, who used messianic, genocidal, biblical language, used the language of Amalek, which, by the way, for those who don't know, Amalek, you know, Jewish scholars refer to it as every generation has an Amalek, a threat that rises that wants to attack Jews. But in the Bible, it says what you have to do to Amalek, since it's such a threat, is you have to kill them completely. You have to eradicate Amalek. And so in order to rationalize the war, just 2 days ago, Netanyahu stands up there, says, you know, we are the people of light. They, not Hamas, but they are the people of darkness. Who's they, Danielle? Maybe all the Palestinians. And we have to crush and destroy Amalek. Who's Amalek? Maybe Palestinians in Gaza, in the West Bank. We'll see. And his base that stands with him fervently is Mike Johnson's base, white evangelical Christians who love Israel, Danielle. But Jews, not so much.
Yeah. You know, it is, we are in really dark times. And I want to use that, your thoughts around Netanyahu and the language that he has used this week to transition over to where we find ourselves in a global crisis that we are watching in real time, war. The bombardment and the killing of thousands of children and the justification thereof that is being made for the rationalizing of those deaths of thousands of children. And, you know, when you have the president of the United States say that, oh, I don't believe the numbers coming out from the Palestinians. I don't care. Let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck if the number is 1 or 1,000 or 100,000. It's too goddamn many. And so for you to make a statement as flippant as that, it really stuck in my soul, Waj, to hear the president of the United States, this man who told us in 2020 that electing him was about the soul of our nation, right? That then comes out at the killing of one Palestinian boy in the United States and says Islamophobia has no place here, but the killing of thousands of children clearly has a place on the global stage, right? And so right now, I know that I am saying things that are largely unpopular. Why? Because lots of people are losing their jobs. Lots of people are losing their jobs and their livelihoods because of their deep compassion of children. And the fact that they don't, and I don't, and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans, don't want our tax dollars used to kill kids. Like, and justify it. Because, you know, what we've said for too long, one of the biggest cliches, right, is that the ends justify the means, that there are, quote, Waj, necessary evils. And I have got to tell you, much like capitalism, that is a bunch of bullshit that has been fed to benefit those that sit on high perches, that use the rest of us as pawns.
You know, you said a lot there. And I just today, as of this recording, finally, and I'm so grateful someone did this, the Washington Post's Glenn Kessler, who did the debunking of Trump. He was really busy because Trump lied a lot. Fact-checked Biden's disastrous comment. And thank God, a reputable non-Arab, non-Palestinian, non-Muslim, because they don't believe us, said, by the way, this Ministry of Health numbers that comes out with the casualties, yes, even though, you know, Gaza, because Hamas was elected, there's been no election, folks, in 16 years, in addition to the militant extremist armed forces, it also, you know, gives services, right? So that number of casualties, Danielle, you know who has relied upon that number in the past? The United States government, the State Department. You know why? Because it's generally accurate. You know who else has verified it and also kind of complements it? The UN. You know who else does it? Human rights groups. Because the number, this is the worst part. It's not an overestimation. it's seen almost as an underestimation, but it has been very consistent because, as you know, this has been going on for years. Every couple of years, there's a conflict, right? Every couple of years, there's a war. So the fact that President Biden came out and essentially, perhaps mistakenly, did Israeli Hasbara propaganda and discounted it for the U.S. public, you deny Palestinians in life and you erase them in death. And I remember I tweeted out, and I think we talked about this on the show, I said, this is a colossal mistake, Joe Biden. For the love of God, please correct this. I know Muslim and Arab communities. Like, this will be the straw that will break their back, right? The next day, I think Kirby came out, doubled down on it, right? It's been a week, and so far, no correction. And I can tell you, Danielle, before the latest polls came out, I want to bring this up.
Yep.
I can tell you, as I told you, as I said it on Twitter, Democrats, you made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Because the rest of us who are trying to say, you know, to Muslims and Arabs who are like, I can't vote for Biden, I'm like, yo, please be cool about this. Think about it. I know it's terrible, but Trump will be far worse. Him being so callous with us, with our own eyes, seeing dead kids, and he comes out and says, well, you can't trust those numbers. It was, even for me, Danielle, I'm like, how do I contort my way? Like, you know, like, how do I convince people? And because what it shows, and Black folks in particular know this, and we, and the rest of us should have been listening to Black folks, what it shows is our lives don't matter. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. Mm-hmm. And if they're willing to discount Palestinian lives, and as we know, because they flatten all of us, a Palestinian equals an Arab, equals a Muslim, equals Hamas, equals Hezbollah, equals Jihad, equals hummus, equals chocolate hummus. It doesn't matter, folks. They all lump us together. So if the president is so callous about these brown kids being killed, but we care about these white Ukrainian kids, God forbid if this happens to me, who's going to step up for me? And I just want people to understand, you don't have to agree with it, but I want you to understand how people are feeling. And I'm saying this right before I give you this latest disturbing stat that we have been mm-hmm. warning about on mm-hmm. this show. Mm-hmm. Poll came out yesterday. Arab American support for Biden's was 59% in 2020. All right. It fell even before this latest crisis. Do you know where it is right now, Danielle? 17%.
Yep.
And this is in the footsteps of the Gallup poll where Biden went down to 37%. And let me tell you all this. Michigan, Wayne County, when Wayne County went Republican, Trump won. When Wayne County went blue, Biden won. There is about 250,000 Muslim and Arab Americans in Michigan, folks, and also Muslims in Georgia and in Pennsylvania. What do you think is going to happen?
From The New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young Black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young Black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked-about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Hey, I'm Alok, the host of Build the Change, a brand new podcast from MacBlue about the people at the center of progress. Join us on a journey across the country as we uncover stories about the everyday folks working together to build something bigger than themselves, real change. You'll hear from students in Appalachia advocating for LGBTQ-friendly books in their communities, healthcare workers providing telehealth abortions across the country, immigrant farm workers fighting for their safety in the blazing sun, and candidates in states with razor-thin margins. Listen to Build the Change now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the thing, and I want to go back to the numbers, right? The numbers that have been issued that right before this war were valid, right, for the United States, and are valid for the UN, and are valid for humanitarian rights organizations. Another stat had come out recently that said the first six pages, because they organized those names, those souls whose lives were lost, the first six pages, as you scroll, have an age that says zero. Do you know why the age says zero? Because there are babies that didn't make it to their first birthdays, and it's six pages fucking long. And so we cannot, right, say that there is justification. If you believe in humanity, I don't care, again, about this side or that side. I say all the time, I'm not a foreign affairs expert. I'm not a historian. I am a humanitarian. And there is no goddamn way that you see pages upon pages of names with ages that say zero that will never see one. Right? This is not just the casualty of war. And I see people in comment sections will say, blame Hamas. Hamas is not bombing humanitarian corridors at this moment. They're not continually telling people that we're in the north of Gaza, go to the south of Gaza. Those people go to the south of Gaza, then you bomb the south of Gaza, right? There is no place, right? Or the refugee camp. There is no place here where the Biden administration is saying to the bordering countries, like they did for the Ukrainians, open up your fucking borders, right? Let's forgive people's debts, which those countries were saddled with debt because of white supremacy. We won't go into that, right? In the way that you can extract and extort and saddle people with debt so they never rise in power. Nonetheless, where is the push to open up the borders, to forgive debt, to provide a humanitarian corridor? Because you see, when Putin doesn't abide by international law, they got tough words to fucking say, boy. They come out full-throated. But here, we have a president that says, I don't really believe the numbers. Got it.
Disastrous. And you know, for people who are listening, they're like, well, listen, just shut the F up and vote for Biden. All right. Do you want I'm telling you how people are processing it within these communities, Muslim and Arab communities. So your choice is you go for the guy who wants to put you in camps, or you go for the guy who's so callous about Muslims being killed and says, hey, do you want me or the guy who puts you in camps? It's not an appealing situation. It's not the best way to court someone. Hey, mother effer, do you want to go to camps? No? Vote for Biden, bitch. That's pretty much like what it says to us, right? Hey, punk ass, what do you want? Do you want to go to camps or not? Vote for Biden. And I'm telling you, people, not just Muslims, not just Arabs, not just black folks, because the black vote is also depressed. The young vote is also depressed, if you're paying attention. What they're saying, Danielle, is this. We're not dumb. We know Trump is terrible, but we're not going to vote for Trump. But if you're asking me to be complicit in what looks like ethnic cleansing, what looks like genocidal language, what looks like war crimes, I can't bring myself, Danielle, to vote for Biden. That's what folks are saying. Now, I still say, for the love of God, if I have to hold your nose, still vote for Democrats, okay? Because we know what's down the pipeline if, God forbid, Trump wins. And he might win now. But this is where people are, Danielle. And so for those people who say Biden or bust, it is not a winning strategy. It is not a winning strategy. And if you're like, who cares about them Arabs and Muslims? Fine. I'm talking about white folks. I'm talking about young voters. I'm talking about black voters are now saying this. And another poll that came out on MSNBC yesterday, a majority of Americans, including Republicans and independents, favor a ceasefire. 66% of all voters.
66%.
Which shows you how disconnected power and this administration is from the majority, both here and around the globe.
And I will say this, right, that we have that number, 66%. While you are seeing Biden's poll numbers go down, you are going to watch that number for a ceasefire raise, right? Because here's the thing. When folks are saying like, well, you know, what about World War II and what about this and what about that? I want you to understand a very clear thing. We had to rely on a handful of newspapers during that time to send photographs weeks, maybe months after the horrific actions would take place. We are watching this in real fucking time. We are watching access to water be cut, access to electricity be cut. We're watching babies be pulled out of rubble in real goddamn time. That is the big difference, right? Because what this administration and Israeli administration is telling us is, don't believe your lying eyes. Believe the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and now, let me tell you something. I trust my eyes way more than what is coming out of everybody's mouth right now.
And that's the game changer. And that's the game changer that people don't realize is that Netanyahu and Israel is committed to a long war. So this is like 6 months to 7 months to 8 months to a year. And if Biden administration is all in on this, he went to Israel, he hugged Netanyahu. All of it was disastrous. I kept saying it. And now they're stuck. What do you think is going to happen with the election? I'll say this, folks. I heard this for the first time. I'm telling you, I'm hearing this from folks. People are like, F Ukraine. They're like, you can find $100 billion for Ukraine and you can find $14 billion for Israel, and child poverty has gone up to 12.5%. F Ukraine. Now, who does that help? Putin, white supremacists, and Republicans. And what Republicans said, hey, we'll help Israel because of our white evangelical base. But guess what? We'll defund Ukraine and we'll defund the IRS. And if Trump was smart, what he'd say, and I hate to give him advice, I'm America first. I don't think Netanyahu was mean to me. I'm going to not support that war, and I'm not going to support Ukraine. Vote for me. I'm going to take all the money and invest it in America. Don't you think that would be appealing to a lot of people who are pissed off and on the fence?
I mean, we know that it would be white America that he's investing in when he says America and America first.
Yeah, we know.
But absolutely, I think that the reality here is that when you are looking around and you are seeing our institutions deteriorate, and you're seeing, as Tupac said, you got money for war but can't feed the poor, right? And we got homelessness issues that are overflowing in all of our major cities, right? People being bussed all this way and that way. We have a immigration system that has never been fixed, and people being bussed this way and that way. And then you all of a sudden, you look in the couch of America and you come up with billions of dollars worth of change. And we're like, can we get some? Can we get some of our money?
No.
Yeah. And the response to that is no.
Hey, I'm Alok, the host of Build the Change, a brand new podcast from MacBlue about the people at the center of progress. Join us on a journey across the country as we uncover stories about the everyday folks working together to build something bigger than themselves, real change. You'll hear from students in Appalachia advocating for LGBTQ-friendly books in their communities, healthcare workers providing telehealth abortions across the country, immigrant farm workers fighting for their safety in the blazing sun, and candidates in states with razor-thin margins. Listen to Build the Change now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I mean, to wrap up, the thing that, you know, when people say, well, why do you focus on Israel? Why Israel? And I want to explain to folks this way. Israel says it is the only democracy in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Israel gets $3 billion from the United States and now $14 billion. That's your taxpayer dollars. Israel gets United States diplomatic support. Israel has a special relationship with the United States. We are citizens of the U.S. We see Israel's occupation. We see the double standards. We see the apartheid policies. Not my words, the words of Desmond Tutu and Jimmy Carter. We see with our eyes what's happening in Gaza. And so we hold Israel to the standard of a democracy. We expect Israel to follow international law and human rights. And as Americans, we're like, we can't, like, there's only so much you can do to Saudi Arabia. It's dictatorship. You know, Syria, what are you going to do to Assad, right? Putin. But with Israel and our relations with U.S. citizens, I think the reason why people are so passionate about this, it's the longest occupation right now going on since 1967. And we see the special relationship. And we're seeing, like you said, Daniel, our taxpayer dollars and our president supporting just death and the death of kids, which is why it's important to speak up. And the majority is on your side for a ceasefire. And the last thing I'll say is, and I hope this is clear on our podcast and through our tweets and through our history, that Danielle and I, and hopefully I can speak for you, Danielle, mm-hmm. we want to preserve life, Israeli life, Jewish life, Palestinian Christian life. We realize this is a path towards destruction. We lived in the post 9/11 climate. We saw the rage and pain of people, righteous rage and pain of people being used and abused to weaponize a destructive war and policies that still haunt us to this day. And I'm seeing a Groundhog's Day repeat in real time in Israel and Gaza, which is why I think speak loud, even though there are some repercussions, and the majority is on the side of a ceasefire and human rights.
And the last thing that I will say before we leave you all today, friends, is to continue talking to each other, continue opening up those lines of communication, continue learning, right? Be very inquisitive and be very thoughtful about where you're getting your information from, right? Check those sources, double check those sources, look for global sources, right? And not just those that are inside of the United States, and making sure that you are getting every angle, right, covered, so that you see clearly what is happening. But at the core of it, I will just echo what Waj says. If they can do this to the Palestinian people and no one does anything, right, they will do it to anyone, including us, right? That is, this is Martin Niemöller's poem from World War II, First They Came For, right? They are coming for an entire group of people, and we're making justifications for it. If they can do that now, they will do it later and with more groups. Continue the conversations, speak up, speak loud, call your representatives, march, donate, do what you can, because you care about humanity, all of humanity. Thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm Wajahat Ali.
And again, I say this now every week that it gets less and less funny, which is that we will be back next week if, in fact, we have a country left. Inshallah.
Inshallah.